Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. This radio program, this satsang, is for Saturday, November the 7th, 2015. I'm very grateful you chose to be with me. How kind of you. I have some very interesting questions today, and I'll tell you about the basic theme and title of this radio program. This satsang is ruthlessness. I get some very ruthless questions, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to answer a few of these, maybe from time to time, and maybe, well, who knows, the kind of, hopefully the kind of good that it will do. Anyway, I want to remind you that this radio program, as well as the TV programs and everything that you see here, on the website at aspire.org is there because of people who have been very, very kind, unconscionably generous in helping me sustain this radio program and my TV programs. They are sponsors. And if you are enjoying all of this, it is because of their generosity, and I hope that you will become a sponsor. Right now, our mystery donor is matching donations for the year end. He's helping us. We need your support like any other, I guess, you know, not-for-profit organization. We really need it much more. What I offer is so out of the box and so different, untraditional. It's hard to understand for a lot of people. But for those of you who get it, you understand what I'm really trying to do. And I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us. Or at least, at the very least, make a donation for year end and let the sponsor, our mystery donor sponsor, match your donation. It would be very kind and very loving of you to do that. So give it a consideration, won't you? Okay, let's get to the first. I want to define ruthless. Okay, according to the dictionary, having or showing no pity or compassion for others. I think our society is fairly ruthless, especially when we're looking at, I think there's a lot of skepticism and fear and anger and suspicion about anyone who's talking outside the box of logic and reasoning. And so hopefully I'm able to maybe serve a part of you that is, well, skeptical or whatever. So here we go. First question, why should I care about anyone or anything in this world? It doesn't seem to really matter or change anything. Raymond, and he's from San Pedro. Raymond, the circumstances of people's lives are a direct reflection of what they know about themselves. And most of us in this world, basically, are the product of two parents who didn't know very much about themselves either and had a relationship that bore our psychology through genetics and environment and all of that. And we could be very ruthless about that. We could look at that and say, well, what the heck? Why should I care about anyone or anything based on the whole idea that people are no good? I had a Zen master that after I was just about to leave and go to India, and he was talking to me and giving salutations goodbye, he said, Greg, remember, people are no darn good. And he was telling me about my attitude, not his, my attitude about people. And he was saying, care about people. And you will care about yourself. Care about yourself, and you will be able to care for people. And when I really examined what he was saying, it was some of the best advice I could have gotten at the time. It's easy to become cynical and rude about people. You could say, well, everybody's got their problems. I wasn't a part of that problem. I didn't cause it, whatever. And you could live like that if you wanted to. And it wouldn't serve you very well. But I guarantee you, one thing I have found about people, life in general, the whole thing, whatever position I might find another person in that I think, well, know, that's their issue. I find I have the same issues, maybe in little different circumstances, but the same issues. And our issue, basically, in life, Raymond, is love. We don't know what love is. We could care less about it. We want love to be what we want love to be. And that's the end of that. We can't think of anything else about love because love to us is emotional. And I'm saying to you, it's not emotional. It has nothing to do with emotion. But no one believes me, so here we are in this world the way it is. I am speaking to a very low number of people in this world, numbers-wise. People generally just think they know what love is. It's anything that feels good to their emotionality. I care about people. Not because I should, but because I see myself in everyone. Raymond, you're in all of us. From the poor person to the rich person to the killer to the Mother Teresa's of this earth. You and I are involved in everything. We're here. We're involved. We're committed, as it were. And we are committed to our own karma. And what you came in with and what you're here to achieve and what you're here to self-realize is a very important thing. I can't make you care. I can't make you happy. I can't make you see the meaning of all of this. I can't do it. That's why we have such difficult circumstances and conditions to deal with in this world. Because we need the hammer. We need the whip, as Buddha said, to the marrow of the bone before we even give any consideration to anything that has to do with anything that is meaningful. We just don't get it. And frankly, we don't want to get it. It's not important to us. We just want what we want and think that we're better than others. You say, why should I care about anyone in this world or anything? Because you're here. Because you're here. You're here to help. You're here to serve. You're here to do something kind and loving. You're here to change your karma through kindness and love. And you have to ask yourself, what makes me so ruthless? Why do I not care about anyone? You should examine that. Because, Raymond, as you begin to see that you don't think that there's anyone or anything worth caring about, you become one of those people that you're talking about by not caring about them. You become the very thing that you say here, evidently you're trying to avoid, or you don't see any purpose in helping. Whoever's before me is within me. That's my little rule. So if I pass a homeless person, they're within me. Have you ever been at the mercy of people? I wonder, Raymond, have you ever been at the mercy of people where your, I guess you could say your fortunes or your next meal or something comes from other people? Have you ever had that happen? You know, about 10 years ago, I tried a little experiment, and I took a cigar box, and I wore some of my old clothes and a tattered hat that I've kept for years. And I went to this parking lot in Seaside, and I stood there, and I wanted to see what it felt like when people pass by and they don't give you any money and you're begging. I wanted to see what it felt like. I have a lot of that here as a teacher. I mean, I'm begging you to give money to help me support this radio program and the TV stuff that I do and my hospice work and all of that. I'm in the same position, actually. But I wanted to see what it was like. I've seen a lot of beggars out there in that particular spot. And I just wanted to see what that was like. So I went out and did this for about 3 hours. And I want to tell you, it is and was a very interesting experience. I watch my emotions. I watch the way they acted and reacted. I watch the way I thought. I saw the way my mind was twisting around with self-righteousness and all the other crap that Greg likes to think. And I watched how my emotions were congregating and setting me up for disappointment. In that 3 hours, I made $8 and some change. And that was it. I want to tell you, you should do that, Raymond. You should go out, get yourself a little cigar box, and go sit somewhere and see how that feels. It'll change the way you operate on the inside of yourself. It's very, very revealing, deeply humbling, obviously. But more importantly, you'll get a feel for the way you are. You can't blame other people. They are what they are. But you'll see that you're in direct proportion, that the lack that you get, shall we say, from the cigar box and the whole experience isn't just from other people. It's ourselves. You are that which you give, and you are that which you receive. And it's very interesting, a very interesting feeling to watch people look at you and think, oh, you poor SOB, or, oh, I feel so sorry for you, or, oh, you lazy, whatever, you know, whatever we think. And we like to go there, but that's the way it is. I say experiment with yourself and see what's going on. Just something for you to think about. Raymond, I hope you'll give up your cruelty. The only way to do it is to put yourself in a position to see what it's all about, your cruelty, not other people's, your own. Please forgive me. Namaste. What the world needs now, huh? Next one comes from Thomas. He doesn't tell me where he lives. By the way, these were emails I've gotten over the past 3 years, just FYI. I don't give, as it does no good to help anyone or give to anything, because nothing ever really changes, Thomas. I agree with you, Thomas, that nothing seems to change as a whole. The whole of humanity is still as foolish and dangerous and fear-prone and hate-prone as it's ever been. We still only know hate and fear. Oh, we like to believe we know love, but we don't. We don't even care about love. Love is not something that we gravitate towards. Not real love. Emotional love, yes, but not authentic love. The love that you can take with you through death. No, nothing like that. We like black and white. That's the way we live. Hate, fear. Hate, fear. And we live in that hate and fear and call it love, believe it or not. Because if you hate the right things, you're a very loving person. You don't give because you're afraid to give. I have students that are afraid to give. And no matter what they may think or how they may rationalize it, they don't give because they're afraid to give. So this is universal. This isn't just with you, it's with the public in general. And even students that are supposed to be working on themselves, it's in them. So it is something that is pandemic, and it keeps going on and on and on and on in this world. And the reason for it is because you get it from partly the collective unconscious and partly from your genetics, your DNA, and partly because you have no faith. And hence, when you have no faith, you are living soullessly. Now, when I'm talking about faith, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about your religious beliefs, your moral beliefs, because they're a dime a dozen. You can have many religious beliefs and moral beliefs and still be just like regular people. In fact, that's what makes up regular people. People who have higher, shall we say, moral beliefs than they can really live out and care to live out. So let's not go to religion. When I talk about faith, I am talking about a perspective. I am talking about intent. I am talking about the way you perceive things. When you are a person of emotion and emotionality, you're going to become ruthless and unkind. If you're a person of faith, it means you've become a person of the heart, the way of the heart. Now, the real heart is very different than your emotionality. Your real heart is the vision of everything. It sees into everything. It awakens to everything. It means living deathlessly. I'm going to be offering a retreat in March of next year on living deathlessly. How not to allow death to be the influence of your life. It will require faith and replacing death with faith. Faith is not hope. It is not belief. It has nothing to do with all of that. It has to do with finding your center, finding where you and life touch, real life, not outer life, inner life, where you and that life touch. When that touch happens, in my case, Gregory disappears, and what I am left with is the soul. I awaken and start putting the pieces of life together in a way which creates a soul. This soul is love. This soul is the very intrinsic goodness of your nature. And this goodness does not depend upon religiosity or fear or hatred. It is the thy will be done mentality. Everything that is in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that mourn. These Beatitudes, which you will be seeing next year on this website at aspire.org, they are the most critical teachings the world has ever known, pared down in very concise ways to teach us the way and the meaning of our own life. Very few people care to understand the meaning of life. If you don't know the meaning of your own life, you won't know what to do. You won't care about the things that are important and apply yourself to those things. Hence, you will not think that anyone changes or there's any good in the world because the world never changes. There are a lot of hypocrites in this world. I understand what you're saying. It's easy to become cynical. It's very easy to become cynical. I was at the grocery store day before yesterday. And here was this, as you're checking out, you know how they have all the magazines there. There was old Oprah. And it wasn't her magazine. She was on somebody else's magazine on the cover. And she's looking up like she's looking to heaven. And the title of the article is, What the Most Productive People Do and How They Become Productive. The allusion is that she's looking to heaven, to God. If Oprah were really as good as she'd like to pretend she is, which is what adds to your cynicism, and I bring this up not as a ploy on her, but just basically why people get cynical about anything in life, she should give up all of her money, just what Jesus said, to the rich man. Take everything you have, give it to the poor, come and take up your cross and follow me. Now, I know the rationalization for not doing that. I understand it. Well, you know, how would I live? How would I, you know, I can do more with the money I have and helping people, but I'm sure it's disproportionate to her own needs and wants. You have to understand, we all have this thing going on in us. We all have our hypocrisy, all of us. We don't understand it all the time, and we often don't see it, but it's there. And you couldn't help but have it in this culture and this society. I'm not making excuses for Oprah, and I'm not condemning her either. I'm making a very, very astute insight here. Same thing with all of the, you know, new age teachers. They don't ask much of their students, and that's why they're so popular. Because they don't say, give, forgive, live consciously, let go of emotion out. They don't say the things that are essential. So they become popular. And anyone who is popular to me is questionable. So Thomas, you can't live in that kind of cynicism. To your own self, be true. I don't worry about what other people are doing. I give because I can. And if it helps them, wonderful. If this radio program helps you, Thomas, good. If it doesn't, good. The matter is that I said what I said and I offer it. The intent is what counts. And if your intent is to serve and to help people, that's all that matters. The rest does not matter. So if I give money to a poor person or an alcoholic or a dope fiend or whatever you call them, you know, when they're panhandling or they're out there in the parking lot, so what? What they do with the money, it's not my issue. How I give the money is my issue. It is me. Think about it. Thomas, don't become one of them. Don't. You never know when you're going to swap places with the person that you're most afraid of becoming. Please forgive me. Namaste. Cynicism is the disease of the culture who doesn't really want to help. I have never worried about that within my life. If somebody's before me, they're within me. So I need to take heed. Last question comes from Jay. If love is so powerful, Greg, why isn't the world a better place to live? Please explain yourself, Jay. Jay, you remind me of the man that came to Buddha and asked the same thing. If love is so powerful, if love is so important, how come, you know, more people don't become enlightened and the world is not a more beautiful place? So Buddha had him go into his village. He said, tomorrow night, meet me back here. But tomorrow morning and all day, I want you to go into the village. I want you to ask every single person what is most important to them. And then come back and we'll talk. Well, the man did what he said. Why not? When he came back, he was a different man that evening. And Buddha said, well, how many people were interested in the way? How many people were interested in love? The man looked down and then looked at Buddha and he said, none, sir. See, you and I want to be loved. And we only love others so we can be loved. We don't love because we're love. Love allows us the freedom to screw up like we're doing. Love allows us the freedom to be total jerks, idiots, money grubbers, fearful, angry, hostile. That's what love does. It allows. But eventually, in that love, which karma exists in, we have to face what we have done. And so much that we have missed. You have missed so much, Jay, because you're expecting others to change before you. And that's such a cheap trick. I'll change if you do. You change first, then I'll change. That ain't gonna happen. We must be, as Gandhi said, we have to be those things that we wish to see in the world. We have to act upon those things we wish to see in the world. We have to be the love that we wish to see in the world. If we are not any of those things, if we do nothing but just the status quo, the pedestrian mentality kind of thing, then nothing in this world is going to change. Don't get all head up and think that love isn't powerful. It is. But love is what allows you to ask that question and allows me to give you the answer. Now, is it not powerful? It allows you to be a skeptic and me to be whatever I am. Just something for you to think about. Good question too, Jay. Thank you so much. I hope it kind of served you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I could be of, well, help to you, and please come to the website here at aspire.org, and at the top you will see contact. Just click on it, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? As always, namaste.